Welcome back to the podcast. All right, so I don't know if you have heard, if you haven't heard, but One Championship will be making its U.S. debut, which is weird because One Championship actually has been in the U.S. before. They just were in Washington, but they moved out of Washington. It was after that whole head kick debacle. If anybody don't know, Washington had a rule where they were allowed to soccer kick, but it couldn't be up against the cage. And of course, there were some fights that some deemed brutal, you know, Roger Huerta, and then Andre Arlovsky, of course, he beat Tim Sylvia with soccer kicks. So yeah, that's the gist of it. But it was the Roger Huerta fight where people were like, ugh, you know, but that wasn't because, but anyways, so they're back in the U.S. finally, since 2013. So it's been a while. And they're back. And the headlining, of course, is Demetrius Johnson versus Adrian Moraes. So it's going to be very interesting. So the question was going into this wasn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't the debut. It was more, the question into this was mostly due to the rules that they were going to use. What rules were they going to use? Which was the burning question, or at least the burning question if you're a hardcore MMA fan. What rules will they use? You know, are they going to use the rules used in the UFC or basically in the United States? Or are they going to somehow get some wiggle room? So I Googled this, being the avid researcher that I am, and I actually found this out. And so if you could fact check me on this, it's on a website called Combat Sports Law. It's a combat sports league resource. And they had an article posted July 27th, 2021. So this was like last year. Last week, I reported that the Colorado became the first U.S. state athletic commission to approve the rule set used by One Championship in mixed martial arts, which includes the use of knees to the head of a grounded opponent. What? Oh my God. So not only will we be getting their judging, but we'll also be getting knees to the head of the downed opponent. This is going to be awesome. For the first time in the U.S., and I'll finish reading this article and I'll give you my thoughts. I made a further open records request to the state to obtain a copy of the full rule set, approved. One Championship, a Singapore-based promotion, has the luxury of self-regulating events overseas. In Colorado, they will need a promoter's license and be subject to state regulation. Regulators will oversee events with their own officials by applying the approved rule set, which is called the One Championship Global Rule Set. Today, Colorado replied to my open records request. Below are the full rules approved in the state. One Championship Global Rule Set. So pretty much what they're saying is pretty much because they know that they're not a company within the U.S., they know that they're a company from overseas, they're pretty much writing it down as, they're pretty much treating it like that. You know, they're their own company, they're not part of the U.S., so they're not bound by certain rules and regulations. That's just, it's pretty much a fancy way of saying that they just had to, you know, pay a couple dollars, you know, pay a couple dollars, move a couple pawns to get approved. But, you know, which is great. One Championship, the global rule set. That's what it's called. The One Championship uses the global rule set, which blends a combination of best practices from Asian and non-Asian rules. Supervision locker room inspectors. One locker room inspectors, and assistants will monitor the athletes and their teams to make sure nothing inappropriate occurs to prevent any breaches of the rules by an athlete or his or her team. A locker room inspector and a team of locker room assistants will be allocated to each pre-bout locker room red and blue corner. They will monitor the athletes at all times while in the locker room prior to the bout. The head cutman will assign an official one cutman to wrap the athlete's hands or witness a sign-off. The wrapping of athlete's hands. Sorry about that. Cutmen will also be cage-sized to assist athletes during a bout, with swelling and cuts. Hand wraps and Vaseline. The cutmen appointed by one may apply hand wraps if the athlete chooses to use their own person to wrap the athlete's hand. The entire process must be witnessed, approved, and signed off by the one head cutman or cutman appointed by him. One will supply approved tape and gauze. If the athlete chooses to use their own tape and gauze, the athlete must submit it at the rules meeting and have it approved and kept in the head cutman's possession until it is in the locker room. Approved tape and gauze are the only items allowed for the use of wrapping hands. And gauze, correct hand wraps. Gauze may extend over the knuckles, over the hand and wrist. So pretty much this is basic stuff that you see like in regular combat situations in the, you know, like in the UFC and Bellator, from what. Yeah, and it goes on about the medical examiner. All athletes must submit their medical records prior to the deadlines instituted by one championship. The organization will indicate which medical tests and blood tests have to be completed during the event week. Athletes must undergo a CT scan and a doctor's check prior to the match carried out by a doctor appointed by one championship. Delay in submitting medicals may result in a fine on the athlete's purse. Knockout: in the event of an athlete has been knocked out by strikes to the head during his match, one championship will ask the athlete to undertake a CT scan or an MRI scan and be cleared to compete. The clearest scan must be presented as soon as possible to one championship. The athlete will not be given their next match by one championship until one championship has possession of the scan clearing the athlete to compete. No exceptions will be made for this rule. So pretty much they're playing their kids. So pretty much this is just the same stuff that they do like in the UFC and Bellator. You know, they're just doing it for one. And it's not like one championship doesn't already do it. It's just this is giving like a set of rules and guidelines for them. Pretty much saying this is the structure for our athletic events. If you want your knees on the ground, you're going to have to follow these rules and regulations, which so far from what I've read, they all seem to be very reasonable, pretty much the typical stuff. If the cage side competition time limits, champion title bouts will consist of 5 5-minute rounds. One championship already does that. Titles with a maximum weight can only be won or defended if both athletes are at or under the proper weight. If the champion cannot reach the contracted weight within the 3 hours following the final weigh-in, they are obliged to defend the title. They lose their title. If the match is then won by the challenger is the new champion. If the reigning champion wins the match, the title becomes vacant. The champion cannot retain the title since they did not achieve the title weight. If the challenger is too heavy and the match continues and the champion is at the required weight, then the latter will remain the champion irrespective of the result of the match. If both athletes are too heavy and the champion is obliged to defend his title, the title is vacant after the match. Okay. The champion is obligated to defend his title at least once a year if an official title defense offer is made. If an official title defense offer is made and the champion cannot defend the title within a year, it may become vacant at the discretion of one championship. Normal bouts will consist of 3 to 5 minute rounds. One night four man tournament bouts will consist of 2 5-minute rounds. Holy shit, wait a minute. So this is a new addition to it. Let me repeat this. One night four man tournament bouts will consist of 2 5-minute rounds. So they're bringing back tournaments, not the tournament. So they're bringing back one night tournaments. Holy shit. One night tournaments. One night tournaments. This is actually really exciting. One night four man tournament bouts will consist of 2 to 5 minute rounds. So they're bringing back one night tournaments. This is fucking insane. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Holy shit. All bouts will have 1 minute rest break between each round. Legal technique standing. Striking including knee, kicks, knees, punches, forearm, elbow strikes to the head, body and legs are allowed, with exception to illegal targets listed in fouls/illegal issues. Clinching and standing submissions are legal. All right, so far This is what we're getting from fans. So far, this is, if you are, I mean, so far, if you are an MMA fan, this is a dream. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they could have done this overseas. They definitely can and they will. But the fact that this is being brought to the States, is absolutely amazing. I am excited beyond belief. They've brought one night tournaments. We're getting knees to the head of a grounded opponent. And that's all it is. That knees to the head of a grounded opponent. And that's all it is. And all they had to do was just come up with a structure for them to really do that, because that's really what it was. They had to, you know, no doubt they had to pay off a couple people, you know, probably, you know, make some payments here and there, but they also had to bring some form of structure. Because when you read this document, if maybe me reading it to you, if I didn't do the best at reading it to you, you could read it for yourself. If you read it for yourself, you can see that in the document, it's pretty clear that they obviously, when one championship presented this to Colorado, Colorado pretty much told them, hey, you just have to have some sort of structure. You can't just do what you do in Asia where you just pretty much change the rules whenever you feel like it. You know, you can't just change the rules, add things, take things away. You have to bring some form of structure, because a lot of people don't know this. Chitauri, you know, throughout the time that one championship has been around, Chitauri has constantly changed the rules in one championship. You know, went from soccer kicks to no soccer kicks. It went from pile drivers to no pile drivers. So, you know, that's the thing. So Chitauri has, you know, he's changed the rules a lot in one championship. So I'm pretty sure when he came to Colorado, it's obvious they told him, you have to bring a structure. You have to bring a set of rules and guidelines before we can approve whatever it is you want to approve. You can't just come in and say, hey, I want to bring my company here and have my rule set. No, you have to have a structure. You have to have a set of rules and guidelines, which is what they did. You know, which is obviously what they did, hence why they call it the one. The one championship, the global rule set, which is why they call it the global rule set. You know, hence why they call it the global rule set. It's pretty much a set of rules and guidelines for one championship, when, you know, when they compete in the states, which of course they had to do. They had to bring a set of guidelines, which is what they had to do. They had to bring a set of guidelines in order to get that, to get, you know, to get what they want passed, you know, which makes sense. And of course they probably paid some people here and there, but that was it. That's really all they had to do, was bring a set of rules and guidelines for them to be allowed to run their shows the way they want their shows. And kudos to Colorado, you know, kudos to fucking Colorado for not being a dick. You know, obviously, if they brought this anywhere else, it was they wouldn't have gotten this. So we'll move on. Grounded. Athletes are considered grounded when they have any weight bearing part of their body on other than the soles of their feet touching the ground. So let's repeat that. Athletes are considered grounded when they have any weight bearing part of their body other than the soles of their feet touching the ground. For example, an athlete with one or both hands touching the ground is grounded. An athlete with one or both knees touching the ground is grounded. All strikes, including knee, including punches, forearms, elbows, all hand strikes, including punches, forearms, and elbows to the head, body, and legs are legal. Any athlete may kick, stomp to the body and legs of a grounded opponent. Wait a minute. Holy shit. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's bring this back. What? An athlete may kick or stomp to the body and legs of a grounded opponent. Holy shit. So you can stomp on somebody's stomach? You could stomp on the body and legs of a grounded opponent? Holy fucking shit. This is getting crazy. They may kick, stomp to the body and legs of a grounded opponent. Kneeing to the head of a grounded opponent is legal. Upkicks to the body and legs to a grounded opponent are legal. Upkicks to the head, body and legs of a non-grounded opponent are legal. So pretty much, which I always found that one weird, you know, upkicks, you can kick people to the head when they're standing, but you can't kick them in the head when they're on the ground, which I always thought was stupid, you know. But, you know, all right. But, hey, it is what it is. You know, it's not a big deal. Submissions are legal. Kicks to the head of a ground opponent are illegal and not permitted, which, of course, stomps to the head are legal and not permitted. Like I said, hey, you can still stomp to the body and stomp to the legs. So, you know, that's awesome. You know, the fouls and illegal issues are the same. You know, stomps. Yeah, upkicks to the head, body, and legs of a non-grounded opponent are legal. Upkicks to the body and legs to a grounded opponent are legal. Oh man, this is great. Pretty much fouls and legal issues we all know. It's the same stuff. No spiking, pile driving, suplexing an opponent onto his or her head or neck. All throws that are intended to spike the opponent or otherwise put the opponent's head, neck, or spine in jeopardy are illegal. Okay, so pretty much what they're saying with that rule is you can't spike them, but you can throw them. So like you can't necessarily like pick them up and pile drive them to the floor, but you can grab them. You know, you can grab them and hit them with a hip toss. You can hit them with a judo throw, you know, or a Greco-Roman throw. So just, you can't do it to the head or neck of the opponent. You know, exactly. Yeah, you can't do it to the head or neck of the opponent. You know, that's what they say. All the throws intended to spike the opponent or otherwise put the opponent's head, neck, or spine in jeopardy are illegal. So, okay. I mean, like I said, throws are, you know, as long as you don't try to pile drive them, As long as you, which, like I said, I don't like that rule, but it's all good. As long as you don't try to pile drive them to the floor, you just, you know, that's good. You know, you're good. You could still throw them. You just can't pile drive them. No grabbing the gloves. No grabbing the opponent's shorts. No grabbing a whole thing. Of course, you don't know that. Pretty much, it's all the same thing. Pretty much. Let's see, penalizing and fouls, causation, caution. A caution is given to the event of a minor violation, official warning, yellow cards. Any flagrant disregard of the rules or stalling may result in a yellow card. A yellow card will result in a 10% deduction in the athlete's prize money and may factor on the judge's decision. Each yellow card is a successive 10% deduction from the athlete's earnings. If an athlete is penalized with a yellow card, the fouled opponent will be given the choice to resume the bout from the same position as when the foul occurred or from a standing position. Okay, so that's good. You know, if somebody takes a foul, you know, whether it be on the feet or on the ground, whether it be, you know, from whatever position they're in, they can easily, you know, they have the choice of whether starting in that position or not starting in that position, which, you know, the UFC never really did a good job of doing. So disqualification, red card. At referee's discretion, an athlete may be disqualified based on repetitive or severe fouling. If an athlete is disqualified, the company may deduct 30% to a maximum of 100% of the athlete's pay. Nice. I like that. I mean, yeah, it's harsh, but I guarantee you, people won't be doing flagrant fouls again. You know, I mean, that's what they need for eye pokes. I mean, the UFC, you know, that's what's been said for eye pokes when it comes to the UFC and Bellator. Like, there needs to be harsher punishments. You do that, people won't do it again. In doing so, the referee must have thoroughly considered whether the athlete has, through their violation, damaged the opponent's chances of victory. And if the violation was deliberately committed, stalling, when the action slows in the standing position, the referee will give the command action. When the action slows on the ground, the referee will give commands improve your position or work to finish. If the action has not increased, the referee may stand the athletes or penalize with a yellow card. Nice. If a yellow card is displayed, the bout will resume from the standing position. Dang, all right, see, I like that. See, there it is, yellow card. That's what we need because, see, that way, you know, the groundwork will press the action and guys won't stall, you know. This is going to be a big factor. This yellow card thing is going to have a big influence on the MMA world because what will happen is, you know, This is gonna be a big deal because, and I can't wait to hear the complaints and the bitching from a lot of the MMA fans and the YouTube analysts and even people from the UFC and maybe even Bellator bitching and moaning about how they don't like the yellow carding. And I guarantee you, you'll probably see a lot of, you know, and it'll probably be from a lot of grapplers and wrestlers, particularly wrestlers. You're going to see a lot of wrestlers complain about this. But I think it'll also set a precedent where you'll start to see people take the initiative and start actually, you know, being more aggressive on the ground and actually work on the ground, which is good. Cage side judges may display a red or blue marker as a signal to the referee in the cornerman that the athlete from the corner displayed is stalling. Cornermen should take this display into account and encourage their athlete to compete more actively and aggressively. Nice. Okay, all right, so cage side judges. Okay, so that one I'm back and forth with because the judges in the United States suck dick. So you might see some judges take some liberties, like Saul D'Amato, you know, and others, you know, other idiot, you know, judges. But if they're using, but if one is using their own judges, well, then we may not have to worry about that. If they're using their own judges, they may not have to worry about that. But if they're using like the U.S. judges or a mixture of the U.S. judges, it may be iffy. Bouts are won by knockout, technical knockout, submission, referee stoppage, doctor stoppage, corner, throwing in the towel, disqualification, judge's decision. The judges will use the global judging criteria to evaluate the bout and render a decision. Yes, yes. If we know anything about Asia, their judging is not like the judging here. They do not judge round by round. They do not use the 10-point must system. They judge fights as a whole, which is awesome. Very awesome. And once again, this is going to set a precedent, and it's going to build some really stiff competition for organizations like the UFC, Bellator, PFL. You're going to see a lot, because a lot of people have been talking shit about the judging lately, and a lot of people have been arguing for open scoring, and they've been, you know, kind of trashing on, you know, judging the fights as a whole rather than round by round. But there's never been a clear argument. And since most of these analysts, like the fucking Weasel, for example, you know, won't do their due diligence to watch one championship fights, they'll only watch maybe like one or two and then go back to watching like UFC and Bellator. We'll see this where, you know, this may finally start. This may finally start a wave where people will start getting their fucking facts straight and actually, you know, we'll actually start to see compelling arguments for judging fights as a whole versus judging fights round by round or using the whole open scoring. You know, so, I mean, exactly. So since this is going to set a tidal wave when it comes to the debate about whether the 10-point must system should be changed, open scoring versus judging fights as a whole. So yeah, I'm glad they're doing this. To score a bout, the judges will take into an account in descending order of importance, near KO or near submission, damage. Once again, near KO, near submission, okay? You don't see that type of judging in the UFC or Bellator. It's very iffy when it's near submission. Damage, striking superiority / ground control, two things that we've been seeing is a big problem in the UFC and Bellator, or mainly just in the UFC and Bellator, takedowns and takedown defense. Holy shit. Something that also doesn't get taken into an offense in a lot of these Western organizations. They take into account the takedown, but they don't take into an account the takedown defense, which I think should be definitely considered. Aggression, of course, is a big one on top of that, obvious one. Bouts are evaluated in their entirety, not round by round. This is awesome. Once again, there's been a lot of shit talk from people saying that round by rounds aren't good or aren't efficient, or, you know, people keep saying that round by rounds aren't good. You know, I'm sorry. Let me repeat that. Bouts are evaluated in their entirety, not round by round. Okay, so pretty much people have been talking a lot of shit saying judging fights as a whole isn't efficient, when, you know, judging fights as a whole has never been efficient, you know, isn't efficient or isn't reliable. Well, you show me a fight that was judged as a whole that was a bad decision. I mean, you show me a fight that was judged as a whole in one championship, for example, that was a bad judge's decision. You know, you could say Pride, but Pride had a lot of Yakuza, but that was had a lot of Yakuza influence. So, and that's an entire different subject in itself. You know, that's an entire different subject in itself. But when you look at Pride and you look at One Championship and you take the whole Yakuza involvement out of Pride, when you take the whole Yakuza involvement out of Pride, the fights were judged pretty reasonable. You know, the fights were judged pretty reasonable and the right guy won, you know, and if you look at One Championship, okay. And like I said, if you don't want to look at Pride, but if you look at One Championship, that's actually the case. There's never been a bad decision in One Championship. There's never been a controversial decision in One Championship. But there's been controversial decisions in Bellator. There's been controversial decisions in PFL. There's been controversial decisions in UFC. So, yes, once again, this is going to, just like with everything else, this judging the fight's entirety and not round by round is going to be, this is going to set a big precedent when it comes to judging. Because once again, there's been a lot of shit talk about judging fights as a whole, saying that it's not that good or it's reliable or whatever bullshit. But yet, you know, no one's ever really shown me like a good decision made by no one's ever shown me like a good decision when it comes. No one's ever shown me a good decision coming out of, you know, open scoring or they showed me an exciting fight. You know, no one's ever showed me, you know, a good decision made by open scoring or just even the 10-point must system or the new 10-point must system for that matter. You know, they've shown me, you know, yeah, sure, the open scoring has created some exciting fights, but it doesn't mean that it's an efficient. The open scoring has created exciting fights, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's an efficient, you know, scoring system because it's created exciting fights, but it doesn't prove that it's an efficient scoring system, you know? The judging fights in its entirety is going to be a tremendous wave. And I think it's going to really stick it to the haters. Cause like I said, there's been a lot of these analysts and MMA and everything that have been talking shit about how, you know, judging fights as a whole isn't really that good, but yet they haven't presented any argument or facts to present it. So this is going to really stick it to the haters. I know I've been repeating myself a lot, but I'm really happy about this. There will be no winner if the bout ends in a no contest. No contest results if an athlete cannot continue. Well, okay. It's the same stuff. If the referee decides both athletes must be disqualified and like, okay. So most of this is just the basic stuff. You know, and the rest is all. It's pretty much. It's pretty much just the same. Okay, here's another one. Weight check and hydration. When an athlete arrives at One Championship's official hotel during event week, their weight will be checked. Event week will continue with a 3-day weigh-in process as follows. 2 days prior to the event, first official weigh-in and a hydration test, 1 p.m. Athletes will be given a urine-specific gravity test. For this test, athletes will submit a urine sample to a collection technician. Under the guidance of a doctor, the technician and doctor will perform a test of your urine sample to ensure that you are fully hydrated. Hydrated equals urine specific gravity. Says I.0250. If you pass the hydration test, you will weigh in. Athletes' weigh-in must be within the limits of their contracted weight class or catch weight limit. If an athlete fails hydration test or misses weight, they will be permitted to retest up to 4 p.m. Day prior to the event, second official weigh-in, and hydration test, 1 p.m. Athletes will be given a urine-specific gravity test. For this test, athletes will submit a urine sample to collections until under the same thing for the second day. Same rules for the second day. Event day, athletes who have made weight and hydration on both the previous days do not have to weigh in on event day. If an athlete missed weight or hydration on either of the previous 2 days, the athlete must make a weight and hydration on event day as usual. If an athlete fails a hydration test on event day, they will not be allowed to compete. If an athlete is over their contracted weight, their opponent will be informed and offered to accept a catch weight. If the opponent accepts the catch weight, the match will be allowed at the new weight. The opponent will receive a minimum 20% of the overweight athlete's total pay as a penalty. A catch weight will only be allowed if the heavier athlete is no more than 5% higher in weight than the lighter athlete. For example, a 65.3 kilogram athlete may compete against a 68.6 kilogram athlete or less opponent. If the weight is more than 5%, a catch weight will not be allowed and the match will be canceled. IVs are not allowed. The use of saunas or sauna suits are not permitted. Awesome. See, I like this. I like that they weigh you in twice. And if you miss weight on the two previous days, they weigh you in on the day of to make sure you're not pulling a stunt. Now, yes, are there ways people can slip through the cracks? Absolutely. But this is proven, to be very efficient so far from what I've seen. Proven to be very efficient so far from what I've seen. Yes, there have been people who have missed weight, but I mean, their punishments have been, their punishments have all been, initiated. These fighters haven't been getting away with it, and all punishments have been initiated. These fighters aren't getting away with it. And more importantly, we haven't heard that. It was only last year where we heard of people missing weight. Before this, we never really heard of anybody really missing weight or missing weight or having, issues with making weight until last year. That's something to take into account. Now, I could be wrong about that. If I'm wrong about that, people are more than welcome to fact check me on the Q&A and stuff. But from what I've seen so far, watching one championship for a while now, I've never seen them. I've never seen guys come in and miss weight. There was only one time where one guy missed weight, and that was a guy who fought Ben Askren. But after that, never happened again. Not for a while until last year. So, I like this setup. I think it's good. Once again, I think it's setting a standard that other organizations will follow eventually. Of course, the UFC is going to try to compete against it. They're going to try to, of course, you're going to have the UFC and the UFC dick riders arguing against it, like, for instance, The Weasel and MMA Guru and even Jack Slack. All athletes and coaches are deemed to be familiar with the global rule set. Appeals pleading unfamiliarity with the rules will not be accepted. Each event must be preceded by the rules meeting. Okay, good. I like how they're once again, tardiness or failure to attend the rules briefing may result in a penalty on the athlete's purse. That's good. Once again, initiate consequences to the actions. I know people think that attacking the fighter's purse is a harsh thing to do, but it's the only way to get the point across. If you don't give them a harsh penalty, they're just going to keep doing it. And by giving them a harsh penalty for not showing up to these things, like for instance, the rules briefing is a great way to hold people accountable. Protests that address either a misapplication of a rule or regulation or an irregularity or impropriety regarding the conduct of a contest or an event should be submitted directly to One Championship and be present in accordance with their procedures regarding the protest. Protests limited by questioning a judgment by an official or okay. So pretty much this is if you got a grief, take it up with One Championship. You know, take it to One Championship and all that. So, yeah, this is really great, and I'm really excited for this. You know, who knows? I'm sure Rick Franklin had something to do with this. Rick Franklin, One Championship plans for Colorado after. Man, this is really good. So this is a really good thing, man. I mean, I'm really excited for this. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for this, man. This is going to set a huge precedent. This is going to set a standard, and this is going to really set a standard, and this is going to Well, we'll see other MMA organizations follow somewhere down the line. You know, of course, they might fight against it, you know, Bellator, PFL, UFC, but I'm pretty sure at some point you're going to start seeing other organizations get with the program. And I wouldn't be surprised if the UFC pulls a stunt where they get knees legal, where they get knees on the ground legal and start trying to pass it off like they're the ones, like they're the first to do it or they're the innovators of it. Because, you know, just like with everything else, you know, the UFC, when competition starts to rise, the UFC starts to make moves, you know, as we've seen with Strikeforce and things like that and Affliction. So, yeah, without a doubt, this is definitely going to send shockwaves. And I mean, definitely you're going to see organizations really have to step their game up, especially PFL and Bellator, because Bellator is the number two in the United States. Not the number one. And, you know, they're the number two in the state. They're the number two in America next to the UFC, which is number one. So, you know, the number two. So, and if One Championship starts building a following in the U.S., which I believe they already did, just with the real hardcore fans. But when they start building up more traction, definitely I can easily see One Championship taking over that number two spot and possibly giving the UFC a run for their money in the number one spot, you know. Let's see. Let's read this article. Rich Franklin, One Championship plans for Colorado after really important legalization of a rule set. One Championship has plans to hold events in American soil in 2022. Promotion executive Rich Franklin believes Colorado has helped lead the charge. In July, Colorado's Office of Combative Sports, led by Executive Director Tony Cummins, approved the One Championship rule set, which includes knees to the head of a grounded opponent, a deviation from the unified rules of the Association of Boxing Commissions. Hell yeah! Fuck the boxing commissions! That's all I got to say to that. While Colorado is still part of the ABC, which is pretty much the Organization for Martial Arts, that's the name, other members have voiced concerns to MMA Junkie that such deviations lead to competition among commissioning bodies to appease the request of promotions looking to bring combat sports events and revenue to new regions. For One Championship, however, the approval from Colorado was just what the promotion needed to break the ice. Franklin told MMA Junkie Radio, Colorado has been really important for us, actually, the UFC Hall of Famer said. We've been able to basically use that as a building block. We've gone to several other athletic commissions at this point in time, and believe it or not, I have approval from several states at this point. Ground strikes and scoring differences aren't the only things accompanying the adopted one championship rule set. According to Franklin, the promotion's vice president added that an uptick in pre-fight medical testing is in store for its athletes. That's awesome. That's just awesome. Like, yeah, and those people are right. This is going to set a precedent. You are going to see a rise in competition. You're going to see other MMA promotions like the UFC, like PFL, like Bellator, start working on changing their rules. You're going to start seeing athletic commissions across the country reevaluate their rules due to the excitement that this company is going to bring, due to the excitement that and revenue that the due to the excitement that this company is going to bring. And with excitement comes revenue. With competition, you're gonna start seeing a rise in the standard, you know, which I absolutely love. I mean, it's a start. And the fact that he's got several other states that have approved, which he hasn't named yet, which I'm pretty sure for contractual reasons, but the fact that he's got several other states to approve it just tells you right then and there that this is a start. It's a start. It's a big start, which is going to set a tidal wave, and it's gonna set a tidal wave of competition, and it's gonna make all other MMA promotions start, you know, it's gonna make all other MMA promotions, you know, start to, you know, reevaluate their rules and, you know, and their rules and things like that, as well as commissions. You know, all these MMA promotions are going to get put on their toes. You're going to see them start standing on their toes, you know, because now they know that there's competition out there. Right now, there's no competition that is making everyone step their game up. This is going to make everyone want to step their game up, you know. There are a lot of other things that come with our rule set. We do fight week CT scans. I feel like we're probably the only major organization in the world that does that. Wow, I didn't know they were. All organizations required head scans, MRI, CTs, or whatever during your medicals, which we require as well. But we also get our athletes CTs during fight week. It's built into their fight week schedules that they go back to the hospitals during the fight week to get CT scans to make sure something didn't happen in the approaching weeks of the fight. We also have hydration protocols, which I'm a huge fan of. So yeah, this is going to be a big deal. A big freaking deal. I mean, like I said, it's going to set a precedent, which is going to make all the competition stand on their toes because of what this company is bringing. Franklin did not reveal a specific date for the promotion. Well, we know the Colorado debut. Everything has been approved. Franklin said, I think Denver is going to be one of the major cities that we're looking at when we're coming here next year. Our schedule looks somewhat aggressive. I don't think I can publicly release how many events or any stuff like that on how many we're doing next year, I would look for us to be there on the back half of the year. Okay. Well, this article was, I think, done. This article, of course, was done last year, so we already know. But this is amazing. This is really good. You know, Black Belt Magazine also did an article on it. Yeah. So, yep, May 5th is going to be an historical. Yeah, May 5th is going to be a very historical, and it's going to be very impactful. So, I mean, this is, like I said, the competition. I mean, yep, and I, with no doubt, if not the UFC, no doubt Bellator and PFL are going to start raising the stakes. You know, the UFC probably is going to go against the grain and not allow the knees on the ground rule, but there's a good chance that, you know, that may change and the UFC might try to take the credit for it. But I mean, like I said, you know, this is going to raise the stakes. And I'm really happy for this. I'm really excited. I've been calling for this type of rule set for a long time. I said, I believe we need this for MMA. You know, I mean, I get, you're going to see a lot of fighters go to one championship because of this too. You know, that's one thing that also we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of fighters probably fight out their contracts and just go straight to one, whether it be from Bellator, PFL, UFC, you're going to see that. For whatever the reasons might be, you know fighters are going to start wanting to go to one, especially for the knees on the ground because they're tired of the wrestler stalling. You know, so, and the weight cut is also going to be something unless they're one of those weight bullies. But once again, this is going to be fun, man. And oh, man, I mean, hopefully they can get more commentators too, like Boss Rutten. I would love to see Boss Rutten commentate on one championship. I know he commentates PFL, but it would be cool to see more MMA legends commentate on one, especially the ones that fought in Japan, like Frank Shamrock, Ken, Maury Smith, Boss Rutten, and all those guys. So, yeah, this is going to be a game changer.